Well, glory. I'm just going to preach to myself here tonight for a few minutes of time. Was working on something else. Was trying to, I won't say make something happen, but in prayer this morning I felt it. And trying to do that. And Lord brought this all back to my remembrance, and I thought to myself, I said, now, Lord, I said, I know I've preached that here at some point in time. And so I went back and I looked at it, and sure enough, October the 24th of 2021, I preached it here. And so almost 4 years ago. And I just feel it today. Amen. Most of you were here. Some of you may have not been here. I'm just going to preach it again here tonight for my benefit. I'm going to preach just walking in circles. Amen. Just walking in circles. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, isn't the Lord good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just magnify Him here today. Father, we love You.
Oh, I love You.
Thank You, sweet Holy Ghost, for all that You do. Thank You, sweet God, for Your goodness and Your mercy to us, for the help and the grace of God. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God. Why don't you put your hands together and just give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. Amen. I don't claim, don't figure to have, amen, ADD, but my brain is working in a couple of different areas tonight. And I got things going through my mind and stuff, and so I was thinking about this today, and this is what I've come to the conclusion on. Starting October the 1st, I don't know how we're going to record it, but starting October the 1st until somewhere in December. By the way, I don't know if somebody can look it up real quick. December, I don't know if it's December the 7th. Is that a Sunday? Amen. Somebody verify. Everybody's looking quickly. Da, 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 da. Yes. All right. December the 7th is a Sunday. And we're going to be having church. Imagine that. Having church on Sunday. And but Brother Jim Johnson from Natchez, Mississippi is going to be with us again that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't know that we're going to do anything on Saturday, but have him talking to us. Oh, it may be the 14th. All right, scratch that. December the 14th. That's Sunday. We'll be having church that day too, though. December the 14th. And so December the 12th, Brother Johnson will be talking to us and helping us, preaching, whatever. And then the 14th, the morning of the 14th, he's going to be preaching again. And then the evening of the 14th, we're going to have Saints Appreciation, and Brother Johnson is going to be with us that night. Don't know where it's going to be, but nevertheless, that's what's happened December the 14th. Now, what was I talking about? Okay, so in October, 1st of October, I don't know how we're going to record this yet, but we're going to, and we're going to run it into December. We may run it to December the 14th or something and declare a winner right then, but we're just going to do a contest. I've been criticized for doing this for doing contests like this and stuff, but I really just don't care anymore, and but we're going to do a contest, see who brings the most people to church between October the 1st to December the 14th or something along those lines. And we'll get you a point for all of that. And then also involved in that's going to be Bible study. Amen. You teach somebody a home Bible study, we're going to give a point system for that, teaching somebody a home Bible study. December the 14th, we'll win it. We're not going to send you to Aruba, but we're going to send you somewhere. We'll figure it out. It may be just to Wanda, but... We may step it up and go to Douglas or something, but we're going to send you somewhere for a few nights and make it available. You and somebody else can go, and praise God. I want to see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Want to see it happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. They get the Holy Ghost and get baptized, we'll give you some more points. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We get a few of those, then I might be sending you to Aruba. Amen. Praise God. You have to pay for your stuff once you get over there, but we'll get you there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to see revival. I want to have revival. Amen. It's my heartbeat. It's bothered me. It really has. It's bothered me. And not seeing people come, not seeing people. I've got everything. I am CDO, and that's OCD in alphabetical order. And so I keep meticulous things that are obviously important to me. I got record of it all. I got record of every message that I've preached here. As a matter of fact, I got record of every message I preached all over this nation. And I don't necessarily, for a long time, I don't have dates, but most of it I got dates, and I can tell you what happened that day, whether somebody got the Holy Ghost baptized or whatever, and such like that. And so, anyways, where was I? I feel like I'm walking in circles. I got a record of everybody that's been baptized in Jesus' name here, and everybody that's been filled with the Holy Ghost and stuff, and it's been over a year since we've had anybody baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that bothers me. Yes. Amen, it does. It bothers me. And you know what? I know that there are seasons. I know that there are times and there are seasons, and I know that every church goes through it. Every church goes through it. But that doesn't mean you got to like it. And that doesn't mean that you have to accept it. And, you know, I can talk about contentment, and that we need to be content, but contentment is not a license for laziness. Amen. And some people, in my opinion, that's one of the verses that is taken out of context more than anything, and that people go over there and said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And that's they just cherry pick that. They just go over there and they just take that verse out of there and they say, "Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." They don't have the foggiest idea. My wife loves it when I say that. They don't have the foggiest idea of what they're even talking about. I can do all things. They think that that's some type of superhuman power that I can, you know, I can walk on water. I can, you know, pull raindrops out of the air and sprinkle them on the ground myself and stuff. I can do anything. They interpret that as that I can do anything through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's not really what it's talking about, because when you go back and you begin to look at it, Paul was writing there, and Paul said, he said, "I have learned how to be abased and I have learned how to abound." He said, "I've learned how to be hungry and I've learned how to be full." And he said, "And I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." In other words, what he is saying is, when I'm hungry, I can make it. I don't kick the bucket and give in and go throw a temper tantrum and just quit. He said, "When I'm hungry, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And he said, "When everything is going great," he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." He said, "When I'm abased and I've had the rug pulled out from under me and stuff," he said, "I don't throw in the towel and quit." He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can live abased and I can live hungry. The Worths and we went to eat today and together, and we got to talking a little bit about that and some of the things that we've been through and stuff, and living in the church and you know, sacrificing, giving our lives for the cause of God and for the kingdom of God, and so that the kingdom can go on, continue on, and be and stuff like that. And some people would look at it and say, "Wow, I don't know how you did it. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, in the times of poor and it don't seem like you have two nickels to rub together, that's when you become, you get a doctorate in trying to make 10 cents out of a penny. Stretching it. That's what that's called. Stretching it. And stuff. But, you know, you say, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not quitting church. I'm not giving in. And all that other stuff. But you know what? When everything is going well, and the paychecks are coming in and I have plenty and bills are taken care of and money's going into the savings account and I don't have to worry about that, I can live within my means. I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses and buying all this other stuff, you know, and basically maxing out all that other stuff because that I have the money and stuff like that. I'm content. I can do it. And so, you know, there's times in the church and there's seasons within the church that we don't see people come. We don't see people get the Holy Ghost. We don't see people baptized. And that doesn't mean that we're like, well, when it's time, it's time. No, it just simply means that, you know what, in this season, I'm going to remain. I'm staying. I'm keeping up. I'm doing it. And that doesn't give me a license to be lazy and say, well, you know, when it's all through, you know, when it's time, they'll come. Somebody once said, brilliant deduction, Sherlock. You know, they will. They'll come if we continue doing what we are supposed to do. But until then, that doesn't mean that I stop. That doesn't mean that I get lazy and everything else like that. It means we just continue to do it and such. We're content about it. Not lazy about it, but we're content. We're content about it. And I think there's a big difference in being content with the season that you're in and then getting to the place that you're like, you know, oh, well, you know, we're not going to be, you know, goofy about it, but we're going to be diligent. Diligent about the master's work until the season changes, and then when the season changes, we're gonna move with it. We're gonna move with it, and we'll see people receive the Holy Ghost, and we'll see people have to have, you know, discipleships and classes and help and stuff, and all the new ones are gonna need upliftment and care, and gonna need somebody to call them and encourage them and such. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Praise God. In the process of all this, we, you know, win a few battles and gain some ground and stuff and move on. And I personally feel like we're just up against a stronghold, some type of principality or power, something that is dug in, entrenched and stuff. I don't feel like it's something that this church has never faced before. It's a stronghold. It's a stronghold, and we can back up and say, well, yeah, or we can continue to push on through, and it'll come to pass. It'll break as long as we stay consistent about it, and sometimes that just simply means we just got to keep walking in circles. It's kind of a little cliche thing that's been given to the same. I just feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, and you know what? That's just the way that life is. I had a good friend in California. We hardly ever talk. When we pastored side by side each other, we talked quite regularly, but he played the acoustic guitar and stuff, and he said, you know, he said, I wrote a song, and he said, and every once in a while, he said, I take my guitar out, and I play it to the church and stuff, and he said, it doesn't help them, but it sure makes me feel a whole lot better. And he said, I can sing that song to however I feel. He said, if I feel sad or if I feel twangy, he said, I can put a country twang to it. He said, if I want to sing it fast, I can sing it fast. If I want to sing it slow, I can sing it slow. He said, I can sing it grunge. I can sing it whatever I want. He said, I wrote the song. I can sing it like I want to sing it. And he said, but you know, it's the truth. And so he took his guitar and he sang it for me. And I guess at that moment he was feeling a little bit slower, and so that's kind of the way that he sang it, maybe minimum speed. And he started singing his song. He said, "I get tired of saying the same thing over and over. I get tired. Why don't you pray through? I get tired of saying the same thing over and over. I get tired. Why don't you pray through? I get tired of saying the same thing over and over." He said, and I feel fast. He said, "I get tired of saying the same thing over and over. I get tired. Why don't you pray through?" And you know what? That's just the way that life is. And sometimes that's the way that you feel life. And you feel like you're, you know, just proverbially just walking in circles. You feel like I'm getting nowhere real fast. Like, haven't I seen this ground before? Haven't we compassed this city before? Well, let me just tell you, if you want to sit around and murmur and complain, you can compass the mountain for 40 years. You know, or you can get with the mind of God and you can compass the city about 13 times. And 13 miles somewhere in that vicinity, plus or minus, you know, whatever, you'll be finished and you'll get through it. But it takes consistency. You just got to keep doing it. And so here's some people that had been walking around a mountain for 40 years. Some of them, that's all they had known in life. That's all they had ever known, is just walking around a mountain for 40 years. And finally, the Lord spoke, and he said, "You have dwelt long enough around this mountain." Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You know what? We need to position ourselves in a place that God can speak to us. Amen. I said, we need to position ourselves in a place that God can speak to us. Some of us are too busy for God to speak to us. We got so much going on in life that God's sitting here. we're just too busy. But you know what? In these two situations that I've talked to you, that I've mentioned to you tonight, you know, 40 years of staying around that mountain ended when God began to speak to him. And I know that God spoke. As a matter of fact, there was a time that he began to speak to them concerning some different things, and they got all scared and such. And they went to Moses, and they told Moses, they said, no. "You go talk to God. Whatever he tells you to tell us, we'll do it. But don't let him talk to us anymore." So that's the way that it was. But there came a moment, there came a time when God spoke and he said, "You've dwelt long enough around this mountain." And so in our text here tonight, we see that the Lord spoke again. And when you look at it, the Lord said, it says specifically there, "The Lord said unto Joshua," see, "I have given unto thine hand Jericho." Wow. Oh. I really don't have many notes here tonight, but I could preach a real, real long time. You said that don't surprise me. But do you read, did you get that? Where is that at? Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 2. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Let me remind you, just leave that up there. Let me remind you, at this point in time, nothing had been done. They hadn't walked around the city one time. Not once. They just left the wilderness. That's it. But the Lord said, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Now, there is a space, a dimension, a time. From the time that you hear something until the time that you see something, don't let that time frustrate you. When God speaks, you can take it to the bank. God is not a man that he can lie. Hebrews said that there was two things that God could not do, and one was that it was impossible for him to lie. Now, if God doesn't say it, don't be saying that God said. Let me give you a little heads up on that. I don't know when we'll tackle that at some point in time. It could be 3 years down the road. But when you say that God said and God didn't say, you know what you're doing? You're breaking the second commandment. That's second or the third commandment, one of those. You're breaking that commandment because he said, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In all reality, that commandment was not given because that there were people cussing. That commandment was given because people were calling the Lord to attest, witness something that didn't happen. Now, at first, it was things that happened. But somebody got this inclination that, you know, Brother So-and-so said that God said this, and it gave his statement a little bit more power. And so I'm going to say, well, the Lord told me this. And God's saying, don't be saying that I said something that I didn't say. That's using my name in vain. That's calling me to be a witness to your lie. I said, don't be doing that. All right? But if God said it, you can stand on it. There just may be some time between when he said it to when it happens. Elisha looked at Ahab and he told Ahab, he said at one point in time, he said, it's not going to rain until I say so. And then 3.5 years later, he told Ahab, he said, get your chariot together and you better get out of this low country because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. But just because he heard a sound didn't mean that he felt the rain. As a matter of fact, he sent his servant back numerous times to go try to see what he heard. There was a timeline. And that timeline can be extremely frustrating if you don't know how to trust in God. If you don't know how to walk by faith and not by sight, you're going to live a very frustrated life. You say, well, I thought God said that we were going to have revival. We are. But there can be a time from when God said it until when it happens. But that doesn't mean that we just sit back and cross our arms and say, well, God said that it was going to happen. You still got to walk around the city. God said, see, I have given unto you Jericho and the king and the mighty men of valor. He said, but you're going to have to do something. And so he said, for 6 days, I want you to walk around the city one time. And so Google says that's somewhere in the vicinity of about a mile. That's not bad. But you know what? You start thinking, I mean, you know, it's 4 miles just to walk around Augusta Lake. And it's only a mile. Only a mile, something like that, to walk around Jericho. And so but you think about that and you're like, well, I gotta walk around this. Sometimes what is told to us seems almost impossible. But they could do it. And so for 6 days they got out and they just did the exact same thing that they did the day before. Exact same thing. Walked the same path, around the same city, doing the same thing that they did. 6 days. 4 days, it's like, you know, same thing. Day five, same thing. Day six, same thing. Day seven, they changed up a little bit. And the Lord said, day seven, you're going to walk around it 7 times, 7 miles. You're going to walk around it 7 times. And so they set about walking around Jericho 7 times. You know how you walk around something like that? Just one step at a time. You just put one foot in front of the other foot. And then you pick your other foot up and you put it in front of the other foot. It's not really hard. I mean, even a child can do it. But sometimes the things that God asks of us, if we're not careful, it almost seems like an impossibility. And sometimes we get this feeling of, you know, today it's not, oh, I want you to walk around the entire city of Augusta for one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day I want you to walk around it 7 times and such, and it's not like that. You know what it's more along the lines like? Prayer meeting again on Tuesday night. I mean, how long have we been doing this, and is it really working? Pre-service prayer, service twice on Sunday, outreach again, Wednesday night. Yeah, it's just same old, just walking in circles, just doing what we know to do. Oh, man, it's September, and I'm trying to finish my Bible reading. Not me, I'm done. September, I'm trying to finish my Bible reading. January's coming up, and I've got to start all over again. Fasting, praying, daily basis. All of that, Sunday again, twice church, just gets monotonous over and over and over. I get tired of doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. I get tired of singing the same thing over and over. I get tired of hearing the same old preacher over and over and over again. Get tired of seeing the same thing over and over and over again. Get tired of not seeing something break over and over and over again. Sometimes it just feels like I'm just doing nothing but walking in circles. Just getting nowhere real fast. Seems like the further I get away from the starting point, the closer I get to the starting point. Not really gaining ground anywhere. I'd like to be like Abraham. Says, everything that you see, I'll give it. Why can't I walk in a straight line? Why can't I just, everything that I see, God gives it to me. Abraham just gets up in the morning, sees new things, God gives it to him. Day after day, sees new things, God gives it to him. I want to be like Abraham instead of Joshua. Just walking in circles. This is the story of life. You know what? You got some of the same testimonies about situations in your life. Monotony of work, same old boss, same old problems, same old situations, same old check, same old lack of money, same old bills, same old problems all the time. Just the same. You got to learn how to deal with it. You know what? And it really shouldn't be hard, because if it's the same old, hopefully you've whipped it. Hopefully you're not failing. I mean, there's a problem if you've been doing it 99 times and you lost 99 times. need to do something a little bit different. But if it's the same old thing, then surely we can learn how to beat that. You know, instead of saying, same pre-service prayer, same Tuesday night prayer stuff. It can't be, you know what, I know how to pray, so I got that whipped. Not that I don't have to do it, but I'm not failing at it. The only way that I fail at it is if I don't do it. And you know what? The only way that Joshua and the people, amen, failed at all of that was they just didn't do it. You don't walk around the city, you don't get it. But if you walk around the city, you can get it. I'm just telling you, church, we can have revival if we want revival. Say, well, give us a plan. Tell us what to do. We're just going to keep doing the same old thing over and over and over. We're just going to keep preaching it, keep preaching truth. Amen. Going to keep inviting people. Amen. Just going to keep inviting people to the house of God. Amen. We're going to learn a little bit of new things and stuff along the ways and stuff. You know what's more effective than door knocking? Personal relationship, personal friendships. That's what's more effective than door knocking. Somebody says, well, I just don't understand why we got to go knock doors and stuff. You know, you got people that they think to themselves, they say, it ain't outreach unless we're knocking doors. Well, you know what? That's part of it. That's just what we got to do. Just what we got to do. But you know, the most effective outreach is your personal relationships, personal friendships, the personal people that you work with, the people that you work with every day. That's more effective than anything. The people you go to school with, that's more effective than just a cold call knocking on a door. We were talking to Brother Jared Scott. He preached here last Sunday and was talking. He used to be a police officer. And he said, I'm just telling you, he said, you want to turn somebody's veins to ice? He said, knock on their door. He said, you know, police officer raps on that door. He said, immediately, nobody wants to answer the door. But what is effective? Effective is those that you're around every day. What is effective is those that you're around on a weekly basis. What is effective is those that you're in contact with on a regular basis somewhere along the lines. That's what's really effective. That's what's really effective. Amen. Praise God. And you just gotta keep on keeping on. Just gotta keep on doing it. Just gotta keep on pressing, keep on pushing. And you know what? One of these days they may surprise you and say, you know what, I think I'm gonna go to church with you today. And they may not even tell you that. They may just show up. It may just happen. Amen. But you got to keep being a witness to your parents. You got to keep being a witness to your friends. You got to keep being a witness to your family. You got to keep being a witness to all these. And you got to keep putting it out there. And you know what? There's times you got to keep your mouth shut. Yeah, there's just some things that we just got to do. But you know what? It works. God's ways are unconventional. God's ways aren't predicated by strategic power and stuff like that. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. It just, a lot of the things that he does and the way that he orchestrates it and things like that, it just doesn't make any sense. Walk around a city. Walk around it seven times. There's just some things that just absolutely make no sense whatsoever at all. But yet we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what we have heard. The Lord spoke. Joshua was positioned in a place and the Lord spoke. And when the Lord spoke, Joshua knew. And Joshua could step before the congregation with confidence and say, hey, this is it. This is what we're going to do. And you know why the Lord's ways are different than all of this? It's very, very simple. It's because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Bible says against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness. Those are the things that we wrestle against. You know what all of those things are? We're going to learn more about this maybe Wednesday. But you know what all of those things are? Those things are spirits. Spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. Spirit doesn't have blood. So let me give you, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for here. Can I say good counsel or wisdom or something? But that's really not what I'm looking for. I can say give you advice, but that's not really. Just give me, let me give you some good knowledge here. The spirit of the devil does not have the ability to enforce his will or anything like that, his agenda. The spirit of the devil does not have the ability to enforce his means, his agenda, without you. The devil cannot come in here and just take over this service without having somebody to facilitate that. He can't do it. But you know what happens so oftentimes is we put faces to spirits. But instead of looking at faces and saying, oh, I know what that spirit is or anything like that, we don't need to do that. What I'm simply saying is our fight, battle, warfare is not against our brother or sister. It's against a spirit. And if you remember that, you'll do good. But if you don't remember that, you're going to be at odds against somebody in the church. Because you're going to look at them and you're going to think of some spirit. No, it's a spirit. All right? My battle isn't with my brother. My battle isn't with my sister. My battle is with the enemy. And that's who I have to resist. And I've got to recognize that. Now, if I recognize that my battle is against the adversary, and Brother Hunter is not my adversary, I'm not wrestling against him. I'm wrestling against an adversary. I'm wrestling against a spirit. But a spirit uses manipulation, deception, to try to manipulate people. But you understand, he can't do anything without you. He has to have a vehicle in order to be able to push his propaganda or his agenda. He has to have a vehicle. Don't allow the devil to use you as his vehicle. Amen. Strife can't come in unless we allow strife to work within us. Bitterness cannot be in a church unless a person allows bitterness to work within them. Hatred cannot be in a body of people unless somebody allows hatred to be in their heart. Now, there's plenty of opportunity for us to be hateful about something or someone, but that doesn't mean that hatred rules. I don't have to let hatred rule in my life. The devil needs a vehicle. He cannot do what he wants to do unless somebody allows him to do it. You say, well, what about those that are possessed with devils? They have to get to a place that they can be possessed. The devil can't just get to a place that he comes into the house of God and he takes a look at you and he says, well, I think I'm going to possess you. He can't do it. He can't do it. If you position yourself, if you place yourself in a place that can happen, it most definitely can happen. So therefore, you don't need to be playing around with Ouija boards and all those other things and tarot cards and all that. You don't need to be messing with that because you are positioning yourself into a place that demon possession could happen. Amen. I'll go a step further. You don't need to be listening to demonic and ungodly and all this other music and stuff because you can position yourself to open yourself up to those spirits. I've seen it multiple times. I've seen somebody singing karaoke in a tent, and they were just singing a regular song. I won't tell you what genre because then you'll think it's okay. But they were just singing some regular song and stuff. Then the next guy got up and he started singing a rap song, and the entire environment changed, completely changed. And I mean, the next thing you know, you've got three people standing on top of a pickup and they're dancing and juking and jiving on top of a pickup, and they cave the cab of the pickup in. The pickup just happened to belong to the person that had the tent that was offering the karaoke. He got mad and he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" He shut it down. Well, that made it worse. Then people started grabbing bottle rockets and firecrackers and all that other stuff and shooting it into the crowd and throwing it and all that other stuff. And all these other starts that goes to chaos. Somebody called the cops. The cops came, the first two cops came, they got out of their car and they started having bottle rockets and Roman candles and all that other stuff, mortars fired at them. They jumped back in their car and left. They came back in full riot gear and a riot van and all that other stuff, got out with all their shields and stuff, and all because of music, a song. That's it, just a rap song, just that. It happened just like that. You can't position yourself in a place that can overwhelm you and those spirits can take over. You can't do that. You can't do that. You know, it's just like you could probably walk into Casey's tonight and you could walk up to the whatever that is, the cooler that is there, and you could say, you know, do I want water? Do I want a soda? Do I want energy drink? Or do I want beer? You can. Chances are you're going to walk out without beer. But you know what, if you go hang around with all of those that are drinking beer and stuff and say, well, you know what, I think I'm going to go to the bar and order a milk. You're positioning yourself for failure. You can't do that. You can't do that. You're going to fail. You're going to falter. And then you're going to be like, oh, I was trying so hard. You're not trying real hard going to those places. You're not trying real hard facilitating those spirits. Stop telling everybody that you're trying because you're not. Praise God. See, this is what happens when I don't have notes. But these are just some things that you got to. I just simply was going to say a spirit needs something to facilitate it. A spirit needs a vehicle to carry it so that it can operate. You're not going to get to the moon without a space shuttle. The devil can't force his will and his agenda without humanity, without, he's got to have someone. Who does he want? Me? You? That's who he wants. He don't have to possess you. He can simply oppress you and come close to some of the same things. He don't have to even oppress you. He can just pressure you. And you know how you overcome the devil? By doing the same thing over and over again. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, I tried that. You didn't try hard enough. Because the Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Praise God. You know, it sounds so simple. But it's just doing some of the same things that you know to do. Some of the same things that you know to do. Praise God. I need to close. You know, probably every one of us here tonight, we could probably go down to Dollar General and we could probably pick out something and we could probably all buy it individually ourselves. And you know how long it's going to last? About a Dollar General day. Some things may last a little bit longer. Some things may not. But you get what you pay for. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. You get what you pay for. Amen. You can go to Dollar General and you can buy paper plates, or you can go to Walmart and you can buy a little bit of upgrade to a breakable plate, or you can go to a nice fancy store or whatever and you can lay down the big bucks and you can buy nicer stuff, but it's all a plate, all right? Some things just last a whole lot longer than other things. You know, some of the price tags on the prayer request that you have in life got a little bit more of a price tag than a Dollar General tag on it. You know, you're wanting God to come through with a Nordstrom type quality or a Nordstrom, but you only want to pay a Dollar General price. That's not going to happen. You know, you're wanting a BMW and all you want to pay for is a little Honda Civic. I'm just simply saying, your prayer request going to take a little bit more walking in circles to get it. And you just got to, because the devil knows what's on the other side of that. And that's what he doesn't want you to have. But he knows that if you get this one to pray through, they're connected to all of these others, and chances are they're going to come pray through. So we can't let this one pray through. And so some of you said, well, I've been praying for them for years. Just keep on praying. Amen. Well, I've just been believing that for years. Just keep on believing. I've been doing this for 6 days. You got a seventh day. I came seventh day and I walked around one time. You got six more times. You just got to keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Consistently. We got to come. We got to push. Let's stand. We got to push for good church consistently. We can't look at Wednesday night and say, well, it's just dead, dull, boring Bible study. We'll just, you know what that does? That makes it 10 times harder on Sunday to break through. Every service that you do not have a breakthrough makes the next service harder to break through. And I'll tell you that that's on a collective basis as far as for the church, but that's also on an individual basis. That's an individual basis. You get to a place you got things wrong in your life, or you got something that you're harboring in life, you got something that you're dealing with in life, and God allows an opportunity for you to break through it, and you don't break through it, it's just going to be a little bit harder the next time. And if you don't break through it, it's going to be even harder the next time. You got to listen when the voice of the Lord speaks and he says, see, I've done this for you. You got to give God thanks for it and step out and start walking. And let God do it. And God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power which worketh in us. God can do it. But it takes faith in us. It takes faith. It takes faith. And we just got to walk by faith. And not by sight. You don't see. Just keep walking until you start seeing. Because God's already spoken it. You didn't need me to come tell you that. There's been men before I ever got here that said, you're going to have revival. I came because I felt like God impressed upon me that I could have revival. That's 4.5 years ago. We just keep walking. You say, well, God promised me that he was going to do that. Just keep on walking then. If you heard it, keep doing stuff until you see it. Don't stop because that you haven't seen it. Keep on keeping on. It'll come to pass. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? I wished it was that simple. But you know what? In reality, it is. We just get bored with the monotony. And soon we just think that the monotony doesn't work. No, it does work. Just got faith in the process. Just keep on. Keep it on. due process, God will bring it to pass. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the base thing of the world, the weak things of the world to confound the strong. God does things different. Just simply saying that when God speaks, you got to have ears to hear it. Go ahead and write it down. Mark it down. And the time between when he speaks to when you see can be frustrating. But don't stop the process. Just keep on keeping on. And there may be some that get weary in well doing. And they may fall by the wayside. But we can't stop walking. We just got to keep walking. Are we disheartened? Absolutely. Absolutely. We just got to keep walking. Lord said, I've already done it. This is what I need you to do. One time for 6 days. 7 times on the 7th day. It's going to feel like you're walking in circles, getting nowhere real fast. You just keep on doing it. And it'll happen. It'll happen. Can you lift your hands and praise the Lord here today?